Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard! He got the shot off! Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Also streaming live at CastleCountryRadio.com. Extremely excited about our next guest, Roland Lazenby. He is the author of the critically acclaimed bestsellers, Jerry West, The Life and Legend of a Basketball Icon, and Michael Jordan, The Life. He also has numerous other books. He spent the past three decades interviewing NBA players, coaches, and staff members while also writing about the league. No doubt, there's no doubt that Roland ranks amongst the finest sports biographers of our time. His most recent work is a book that was released in October. It's a biography on Kobe Bryant called Showboat, and Roland is joining us right now over the phone to talk about that book. Roland, it's great to get you back on the show. I know we had you back in 2014 when the Michael Jordan book was released, so I appreciate you making time for us again today.
Thank you, Jordan.
Let's start by talking about your latest work, Kobe Bryant Showboat. The first question I have for you is, why? Why Kobe Bryant? I mean, Michael Jordan in 2014, Kobe Bryant in 2016. I guess the two just work hand in hand, right?
Yes, and I think it's fair to say both are compelling figures. And if you're going to write a biography, you better find a compelling figure. In my case, I write a lot about hyper-competitive people. And I don't know any more hyper-competitive guys than those two.
It's true. I mean, when I read Michael Jordan The Life, it almost took me to believing that this guy is a borderline sociopath. That's kind of what I took from Michael Jordan in reading, you know, his competitive nature. In your dealings with both of these guys and researching them the way that you have, is Kobe and Michael, are they really that comparable?
Well, they are in many ways, just as in many ways they are not. But yes, I think that everyone assumed that Kobe set out to mimic Michael, to make himself like Michael. And I think one of the clear points of the book is that actually it was Sonny Vaccaro and Adidas. Sonny Vaccaro had worked at Nike. He had been the champion of Air Jordan, and then he had a parting of the ways with Nike, and he went to Adidas, and he set out, Sonny Vaccaro did, to look for the next Jordan. And he wasn't expecting to find it in a kid like Kobe Bryant. But he did, and so suddenly Adidas began suggesting to this high school kid that he could be the next Jordan. And in fact, they offered not only Kobe a contract to turn pro out of high school, but they offered his parents money on the side to make sure it happened.
You know, this part of the book was so interesting to me, Roland, because in all the dealings that I've had with sports, talking to professional athletes, talking to those who are involved, I've always wondered just how crucial shoe contracts and agents truly are to the business of the sport. And in this regard, you mentioned Sonny Vaccaro. Without him, Kobe, I mean, there was talk of Kobe potentially going to LaSalle. I know he was really tempted to go to Duke and play with Coach K. Was this the straw that broke the back that sent Kobe to the NBA, this deal with Sonny Vaccaro?
Right, and because Kobe's father, Joe Jellybean Bryant, had played pro basketball for 16 years, people assumed the Bryant family was in good shape financially. It was not. Joe badly needed a job, or he needed a deal. And so suddenly Kobe's career and his ability to turn pro out of high school, which was something no one did back then, but his ability to do that became a big factor in the family's finances. And of course, you know, Kobe is a guy who is game. Yeah, you present a challenge to him, he'll do it. But I think the evidence has a strong indication that Kobe really would have preferred to go to college. When he signed the contract with Adidas, you know, in his senior year of high school, he looked at Sonny Vaccaro and he said, "Mr. Vaccaro, is there any way my family could have had this money and I could still go to college and play basketball?" In all likelihood, that college would have been Duke, although his father had set up some great recruits and even had thoughts of being the head coach at LaSalle. That didn't happen, but what did happen is that Kobe became an Adidas signee and a Lakers draft pick.
Fascinating, fascinating at the beginning of this book. And just so the listeners are aware, you developed a relationship with Kobe Bryant very young in his career. So, I mean, this is a book that was roughly 20, 23 years in the making, right?
It was. And, you know, Kobe, of course, went through a number of media friends as he went through the vagaries of his career. He would have different people at ESPN. For a brief enough time, I was one of those. A couple of seasons, we had a closeness. But Kobe tended to change those friends. And he really made a clean sweep of friends and associates after the trouble in Colorado and the things that engulfed him there.
How did that change, Kobe, that incident in Colorado back in 2003?
Whoa, you know, to come so close to... Kobe basically came very close to destroying himself. And he was very willful about this. It wasn't just Colorado. It was demanding trades of teammates and forcing the issue. He went through so many things. It was painful for people in the Lakers organization to watch all this damage that Kobe Bryant had done to himself by being so willful and headstrong. The thing that it allowed him to be a pro player at a young age with all these skills was also the thing that really allowed him to endanger his own life in many ways. And, you know, he really ripped up the world around him and then had to find the presence of mind and the good fortune to make a comeback. And he was able to do that. But I think the arc of his life was really about all of this self-destruction and then this ability and the good luck to put it all back together again.
Again, our guest right now is Roland Lansenby. He's the author of the book Kobe Bryant Showboat, which is on shelves right now. Roland, you talk about the self-destruction, the near self-destruction of Kobe's career. One of the things that I admire most about Kobe Bryant is the fact that this is a guy that was able to go out and perform no matter what was going on in his life. Trials, tribulations, it didn't matter. This guy was always there on the court. When I was in college, I wrote my senior thesis on the apologia tactics, comparing and contrasting Kobe Bryant and Tiger Woods. I'm amazed that it never showed in Kobe's game. Regardless what was going on behind the scenes, you never would have noticed in watching him play. One of the storybook games, I think, of his career that gets overlooked a lot, he missed the first half of a game while he was in Denver on trial, and he comes back, he hits a game-winning shot for the Lakers in the second half. I believe they beat the Nuggets, if I remember correctly, in that game. It never teetered his performance on the court at all.
Right, and you know, in the 2001 playoffs, he threw his family completely out of his life. I mean, he sold the house out from under them over a weekend. He towed their cars, closed down their credit cards, cut off phone communication. Basically, they had to exit his life. And he did that on the eve of the very eve of the 2001 playoffs, and then went out and played extremely well in helping the Lakers to a 15-1 dash through the playoffs. Of course, in the aftermath, he broke down sobbing in the locker room while his teammates were celebrating. But Kobe Bryant had this ability to, and he learned some of it from George Mumford, the mindfulness guy who worked with the Lakers and before that, the Bulls. But Kobe learned how to really control his focus, and it allowed him to get through it until he finally broke down, because it was a very close family at one point.
controlling his focus about 3 years into his career. You mentioned lost and lonely. That's how you could describe Kobe Bryant. And this is around the time, right, that you actually had developed that closeness with him.
Right. No, it was a sad time. I thought this kid is really, he was so ambitious. And this was in 98, 99, 2000, into 2001. This kid's really ambitious. He, you know, and he makes no bones about it. He's very out there about this ambition. And yet he really had to fight through three or four seasons of being totally and completely out of place on a veteran Lakers roster.
There was always talk of Kobe's rift with Shaquille O'Neal, these two never really getting along, or at times not getting along. I think one of the overlooked players in that young Lakers squad, you go back to the 98-99 season, Kobe didn't get along with Eddie Jones either, did he?
Well, actually, in some ways he did, because Eddie had a strong Philadelphia background, having played at Temple. And Eddie Jones had his own disagreements with Shaquille O'Neal. Now, it sounds a little crazy, but it wasn't a perfect detente. But, you know, Eddie also was in conflict with Kobe, because even after he was drafted, Kobe went back to Philadelphia telling people that he was going to be the guy elevated by the Lakers, and Eddie was not. And, you know, Philadelphia is a small town. Making statements like that, I'm sure those got to Eddie Jones. And they had their conflicts, but they also had a strong respect for each other, tied to that Philly basketball culture. And Eddie had done things for Kobe to help him mature and advance over the years. So it was not a, it was more of a gray area when it came to their conflicts. And so it was a little more complicated.
Fascinating stuff. Joined right now by Roland Lazenby. And Roland is going to stick around and join us for one more segment. When we return, we'll talk about the later stages of Kobe Bryant's career and also talk about some of the comparisons to Michael Jordan when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.